Treasuring a win, the Broncos have followed their map to Tampa Bay, ready to face the Buccaneers in the heat.
I'm from Florida, so, you know, it's pretty hot summers down there.
Trevor Siemian hopes to continue his blistering start while it's been smooth sailing for his diva wide receivers.
He's like a country diva, though. I'm like Hollywood diva.
On defense, the Broncos will try to force Jameis Winston to walk the plank.
There's 16 traps in the NFL. If you don't play good, you get trapped.
It's the Broncos and Buccaneers, and the BTV Live pregame show starts right now. And thank you for joining us for the BTV Live pregame show. I'm Phil Milani alongside Matt Boyer and Andrew Mason here on the field at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa as the Broncos get set to face the Buccaneers. And it will be a homecoming of sorts for Trevor Siemian today. The young Broncos quarterback grew up just about an hour and a half away from here in Windermere, Florida. And today he will make his second career road start in the NFL. Mace.
Second career road start, of course, fourth overall. And does so against a defense that, like the one he saw in Cincinnati last week, very strong up front in the front seven. Gerald McCoy, Quan Alexander, Levante David are the kind of players that can cause some problems. So even though Simeon's been on incline getting better and better and better, it might be tough to have a better game this week than last week because of what the Bucks can bring up front.
Yeah, four touchdowns, 312 yards last week, good enough to earn him the AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
And we're seeing him display a lot of different skills, right? We've gone on about it back and forth. We're still learning a lot about Trevor Siemian, what he can do. We figured out last week he really likes his offensive weapons, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. But I think the most impressive thing about Siemian is that he's taking what the defense gives him. He's not forcing anything. The Broncos are remaining very, very balanced. And while the amount of tape on him might be growing, the Broncos are still finding a lot of different ways to win.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much about me, but offensive tendencies you definitely take note of, and you just try to figure out as best you can how teams are preparing for you and what they're trying to take away. So I think that just applies for the whole group, to be honest with you.
I mean, that's this way in every league. Once you get a month deep, there's more tape to study, you know, on everybody. You know, that's just part of nature of the business. You know, for Trevor, I just want him to stay focused on week to week. You know, it's start number four. Obviously, last week was really good. You got to let that go just like you got to let it go when it's not very good.
A win this week, and he goes 4-0, a very impressive start. Historic, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he'd be the first quarterback drafted by the Broncos to win his first four starts. And, Matt, speaking of tendencies, one thing the Broncos did last week was get the ball to their Pro Bowl wide receivers, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Those two put up big numbers last week, and they want to be the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. Are they, Mace?
They're pretty close. I'd say they are the best duo in the league. They're both Pro Bowlers. And you can see how they can make a young quarterback better. When you have guys like Thomas and Sanders who can get downfield, they can make plays short, they can make plays long, there's effective intermediate as they are deep, that's a quarterback's best friend. And you can see from week to week the trust and cohesion growing between Siemian and those receivers. They know he's going to get the ball there, and they know that if they get open deep, he can get the ball there. That's key, and really that opens up a horizon of possibilities for this offense.
And you talk about the numbers that they put up last week, Matt. Each of them had 100 yards receiving, 15 combined total catches, and 3 touchdowns. Are they the best wide receiver duo in the NFL?
You mentioned the 100-yard game. It's the sixth time it's happened since 2014, a very impressive stat for both of those guys. You'd be hard-pressed to find a duo better than those two guys. I mean, they complement each other so, so well. Emmanuel inside using his speed, Demaryius using his combination of speed inside, size on the outside. So I think that it's just a matter of just them really getting into a rhythm. I think that they struggled with that in the first couple of weeks, but I think since then, against Cincinnati, they've been great.
Yeah, they call each other Thunder and Lightning, and that's because they play off of each other so well. They certainly have been making a lot of noise so far this season, and that's because they say their friendship off the field.
I think it's began with the friendship. You know, we came out together when we got drafted. We kind of knew each other then, and once, you know, he came here, we just clicked like brothers and, you know, like friends. And We push each other every week.
We genuinely want to be the best, and we genuinely want to win. And I think that that's the most important thing. Sometimes it's not about statistics. It's all about winning, and you want your receiving core to win as a group, no matter who gets the praise. And I think that we both come in with the same mentality. Let's go out and prove that we're the best wide receiver group in the world.
That offense certainly proved that it could score through the air last week, but Mace, today coaches would like to see the return of the ground game.
Yeah, and some of that last week was because of what the Bengals were doing defensively. They were stacking the box, really filling things up. And, of course, the injuries up front didn't help the Broncos as well, losing Russell Okung for a quarter and then moving Michael Schofield to left tackle. And of course, Tyson Brailo playing for Donald Stevenson. He's going to start again this week for Stevenson, so you want to get him going. But if the Bucs do play honest and play a little bit farther back, don't stack the box, then there's going to be some openings for the Broncos to run. And really, that's where, if anything, the passing game can set up the run, because if that aerial game continues to be a deep threat, then they can't bring a safety up, and that's going to open up horizons underneath, and then C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker and maybe even Capri Bibbs on this hot and humid day to get some carries today.
Yeah, you definitely want to be able to do it either way, because last week, 23 carries for just 52 yards.
Well, the Broncos rank 14th in net rushing yards right now in the NFL. It's not bad. It's not great. It's kind of sitting right there in the middle, right? So I definitely think they want to establish the run early. But another interesting fact, they're fifth in the league on converting third down. And a lot of that reason, though, is because C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker are putting them in easy, manageable third down positions, third and five, third and three. So I do think they are having a lot of success with the run, setting up the pass. We heard it from C.J. Anderson earlier this week. He said, "We just want to put the ball in the box." Hopefully the Broncos can do that again today.
We can win either way. Run, pass, fullback dive. We can win.
That's good to see, right?
Great. It's just wonderful. You know, you can't stack the box. You can't play six in the box and stop our pass. You can't stack the box eight, nine, get stuffy and start to stop the run. We just going to find ways, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to find a way to put the ball in the box. And that was our whole goal this week, was put the ball in the box, points, 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 and we did that.
We're just trying to move the ball. So we went to a spot, and obviously we got the job done in the air. So we like to think that we could do it both ways, and hopefully we'll improve on our techniques and find those creases that presented themselves we just couldn't hit.
We know that we can have a balanced attack, and we can go out and throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns, but we can also run the ball too. And we can rush for 150 yards. And, you know, obviously all that comes, though, with preparation out on the field, executing at a high level, and maximizing our potential.
We hear it all the time, guys. Gary Kubiak wants to run the ball. He wants to establish the run, and that sets up so many different things for the Broncos. We talked about Trevor Siemian earlier. The reason why Trevor Siemian could have so much success today is because of that run, being able to open up those passing lanes. I think that everything starts with the run, and C.J. Anderson, as we heard, is ready for today.
Yeah, most definitely. And as you heard from Emmanuel Sanders right there, the Broncos will look to take another step today in maximizing their potential. As kickoff grows closer here in Tampa Bay, when we come back here on the BTV Live pregame show, after spending the first 4 years of his career in Tampa Bay, Aqib Talib makes his first return to West Florida. And now it's time for this week's trivia question. What is the hottest regular season game the Broncos have ever played in? It's pretty hot right now down here, but I don't think we'll be breaking this record.
I guarantee Mace knows.
I hope we won't be breaking this record. We'll have the answer when we come back.
Download the free Broncos mobile app today at broncosmobile.com. Stay up to date on everything Broncos 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Broncos mobile app includes videos, photos, game updates, a fantasy football tracker, event updates, and more. Plus, you can get up-to-the-minute statistics during games. Download it for your iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry device at denverbroncos.com/mobile. And don't miss a second of your Broncos news this season. The Denver Broncos invite you to have fun, win prizes, and get healthy by joining the 45-Day Fitness Challenge. Together with Children's Hospital Colorado, 24-Hour Fitness, UC Health, and King Supers, the Broncos are committed to having the healthiest fans in the NFL. All it takes is 20 minutes of exercise, 8 glasses of water, and 8 hours of sleep to earn great Broncos prizes. One participant will win the ultimate VIP experience at the December 18th game versus New England. Sign up today at denverbroncos.com/fitnesschallenge.
Please welcome to the stage the newest member of the UNC Athletic Hall of Fame, Steve Antonopoulos.
On Friday night, Broncos head athletic trainer Steve Antonopoulos returned to where it all started as he was inducted into the University of Northern Colorado Athletic Hall of Fame.
A really cool deal in this thing is my mentor, who is no longer with us, was in one of the first classes, Hall of Fame classes, and I'm just so proud to be in the same light as him. And I mean, it's just tremendous to be honored like this.
Greek earned both his bachelor's and master's degrees from UNC before joining the Broncos in 1976.
As you know, we trained up here for 21 years, and was so proud to come up here every summer and be part of the university again. And man, to be honored like this is just a really cool, cool deal.
Throughout all the big moments on the field, Greek has been right there when Broncos players needed him the most.
Not enough superlatives for Steve. He just, the loyalty that he's shown to the Broncos as well as Colorado and the work that he's done year in and year out, and, you know, done it for such a great job for such a long, long time that we're thrilled for Steve and couldn't happen to a better guy and a more deserving guy.
Antonopoulos is the longest tenured employee in Broncos history. And Friday's ceremony at UNC's campus was the latest honor in his illustrious 40-year career.
I've spent over half of my life with the Denver Broncos, and obviously I love Mr. Bolin and the Denver Bronco family, and so proud to be honored because of them.
In Greeley, Phil Milani, Broncos TV. We had a really great time up in Greeley on Friday night. Really nice to see Greek get honored. One of the hardest working guys in sports, I think we can all agree about there. Usually gets to the facility at 4 a.m., so he's always there for his guys. But I know the Broncos don't want to see Greek out on the field much today, especially on defense where they're a little bit banged up. And today they'll be going against Jameis Winston, one of the rising young stars at quarterback in this NFL. Mace, how much improvement have you seen from him now in year two?
Well, I think I've seen incremental improvement this year from late last year. I thought his biggest leaps were from the early part of the season last year to late season, because you saw him get more sail in the pocket, more willing to stay in the pocket and throw the ball, and much more assertive as a leader. And that's actually something I think they're relying on him right now. They're struggling. They're 1-2. They really are frustrated after losing a game they probably should have won last week. And this is where Winston, I think, has really shown his growth. He's always had the physical talent, but his leadership in that locker room, his intelligence, talked about it before the combine last year, just how smart he was and how quickly he could learn offense, and his ability to get everyone going in the right direction. That's where he's improved, and I think that's what they really need from him today if they're to get back to get a game that I think they really didn't really think they had to have when the season started, because they thought they'd win last week.
Yeah, the tough game against the Rams last week, but coming out, we heard some comparisons between Winston and Peyton Manning, certainly in the way that he can understand the playbook. Right now, they're using him a lot. Through week three, he's leading the league in pass attempts on a record-setting pace.
Well, he's had over 140 pass attempts already. That is a remarkable pace so far. Head coach Dirk Cutter had said to the media earlier this week he wants to run the ball more. I think that's pretty obvious considering everything that they've had to go through earlier this season. 178, though, that's the number of passing yards allowed by the Denver Broncos so far this year, and a big reason for that is Aqib Talib. Jameis Winston knows exactly what Aqib is capable of, having seen the tape from that Indy game and, of course, last week against Cincinnati.
He is as advertised, you know. He's a great guy. Just his knack for the ball, man, he has great ball skills, you know. So we definitely have to protect the football and be safe. You know, it's a challenge, you know, and that's what that's what all of us got to come together and just be like, we take on that challenge. You know, this is a great opportunity that we're given.
Like we were mentioning, guys, I think that it's going to be key for Aqib Talib to have a hot start. I think that he's going to come in here very emotional. It's an emotional homecoming for him. He said that this was a special place for him. This is where he bought his first house. This was his first team. So I think it's going to be key for him to kind of calm the nerves, have a nice start here in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, his first return back here to West Central Florida, as Mace corrected me. Sorry about that earlier. But the Buccaneers, this is an opportunity for this Bucs team to really show what they're made of going up against the defending Super Bowl champions. But I don't think the Broncos are taking them lightly, because head coach Gary Kubiak this week said there's 16 trap games, and this group is too professional to overlook a Buccaneers team.
Yeah, and they haven't overlooked anybody. It doesn't mean they haven't lost games in the last couple of years, but they haven't overlooked, they haven't scrimped on the preparation against anybody. And really, when you get down to looking at this Tampa Bay team, yes, they're still building. There's still some parts they need to take the next step over the course of the next few years. But there's a lot of star power out there. We talked about Jameis Winston. Now, Doug Martin isn't going to play today, but Mike Evans is one of the best young receivers in the game. On the defensive side, three guys I mentioned earlier, Gerald McCoy and Quan Alexander and Levante David, defensive tackle and two linebackers, and a secondary that's improving, Brent Grimes, Altron Werner, and they really like Vernon Hargreaves, their first-round pick out of Florida this year. A lot of talent on this roster, and all you have to do is watch the film and see it. And so I think once the Broncos watched the Bucs film this week, it really got their attention. There's a lot of talent on this team.
Yeah, most definitely. And that secondary, like we were saying, too professional to overlook the talent on this roster. Fourth-ranked passing defense in the NFL.
Well, yeah, and like we mentioned, the pass attempts are going to be huge for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The secondary, the Broncos secondary, also known as the no-fly zone, of course, has been downplaying, if you will, you know, just how important the passing game is going to be for the Bucs. They've said, you know, balance is going to be key for them. However, you know, when they see that attempts number, that they are going to be looking for their opportunities frequently here today.
Denver, a four-man rush, quick throw right side. That pass caught, and then the ball knocked free on a jarring hit by Aqib Talib.
We expected the Bengals. They had the number one passing offense, and they changed their offense. So, I mean, it's just you just got to come out and see how they're going to try to attack us.
Play action, and the pass. Touchdown to Cameron Brate.
Aggressive, confident offense. They have a nice young quarterback, man, who's continuing growing as the weeks go on. And I just feel like he's just getting started.
See, a confident quarterback, man, he's confident in his arm. He tries to make all the throws. He's confident in every throw he can make. So he's confident in Evans to come down with the ball. So there's a lot of confidence in the offense.
He likes to throw it all over the field, and he's not shy about, you know, letting it go. And should create a lot of opportunities for us.
That Broncos defensive backs group, very well known. However, the safety position, Broncos come in a little bit banged up today. Shiloh Keough, of course, with a bulky knee, and Justin Simmons with a hand. We'll find out what their status is later on in the show.
Yeah, we'll have inactives coming up here in just a bit. But one thing that's for sure is that defense has the same confidence it did last season. The Broncos come into today with an 8-game winning streak, the longest in the NFL. And Von Miller has certainly picked up right where he left off last season, was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month for September.
It's something special that's going on with this team right now. And it's great to be a part of it. Like I said, the locker room is the core of it. We got great leadership here. We come out here to work. We come out here to practice. We really practice. We really get it in. It's 100% football. You know? Like, that has to be the birth of some of the success that we're getting.
And time now for the Broncos inactives for today. Austin Davis inactive. We knew that probably coming in. Also, though, Lorenzo Doss, Connor McGovern, Donald Stevenson, Virgil Green, DeMarcus Ware, and we just mentioned him, Shiloh Tao inactive for today?
Well, it was funny because Coach Kubiak had mentioned earlier on this week that we possibly could see Lorenzo Doss. He might play a factor along with Will Parks. Parks obviously up, Doss not so much, but it looks like they do have confidence in Justin Simmons. They wanted him to work through playing with that club. He's going to have that hand heavily wrapped. So it looks like the Broncos have a lot of faith in what Justin Simmons can do with that bandaged arm.
Yeah, they're going to have to rely on some of these young guys, and it's been working so far. You see Shane Ray come up, play very well. You saw John Phillips come in at tight end. I'm sorry. We saw Jeff Hierman come in. All these guys produced them when needed.
Yeah, they have. But, you know, having Doss down will be interesting because the Bucs do a lot of 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. So, you know, all of a sudden there's not a lot of buffer zone behind the top cornerbacks. We may see Kayvon Webster play quite a bit anyway. And also, the other thing to consider is in this weather, if you don't have Doss up, that means you really can't rotate the cornerbacks. Now, Gary Kubiak said, yeah, he'd love to rotate every position if he could, but with this heat and humidity that we've got down here, but the 46-man roster forces some tough choices, and it looks like one of them was Doss being down today.
Yeah, it's going to be very hot today.
Yeah.
Hydration is going to be a very big factor. I think that might be leading you right into our favorite part of the show, Mace's three keys.
Well, that's actually key number... three.
That's key number three. We'll get
key to number three. Okay. Let's start with number one. Let's go back to Jameis Winston. As much progress as he's made, he's made a lot of mistakes. So you want to force him into mistakes. Here's the stat for you that's relevant. The Bucs are 1-6 when Jameis Winston has 2 or more turnovers, fumbles, interceptions in a game. So you've got to be careful. You've got to try to force the ball out from him. You've got to try to make things uncomfortable. Number two, you want steadiness and balance on offense. Look, take what the defense gives you. If they stack the box, then you go over the top. If they play a lot of nickel and dime, then you go underneath and you use the underneath routes and you also get the running game going. Take what's there. What we've learned the last few weeks is that the Broncos have a balanced offense and a diverse offense that can adapt to a game plan. Use that adaptability and you'll get things done. And finally, the heat. If you don't mind it, it won't matter. You know, mind over batter, as they say. You've got to not think about it. Whatever gets you to think about the heat less, do that. You know, take it out of the equation. Look, the Bucs, yes, they've trained in it all summer. Yes, they have all their training camp practices in this kind of weather. But it's still going to affect them as much as it affects you. So don't think about it. And look, Kubiak's probably going to shuffle some guys around. He's going to make sure that guys get rest, get to the sideline, get hydrated, take the heat factor out of the game. But I'll say this, we've got some clouds building up here. If those clouds stay, and they may or may not, the weather here changes rapidly, but if they do stay, it'll be a lot easier for the Broncos. It actually feels decent right now. The clouds, breeze, not bad.
Yeah, not bad, but we have seen the Broncos take some extra precautions this week. Talking to team nutritionist Brian Snyder, they're doing a lot more hydration, especially last night getting ready for today. We saw the Broncos practice with some wet footballs and also wear some extra T-shirts, so definitely taking extra precautions due to the heat this week getting ready. But earlier this week, they took a break from the precautions, get out in the Denver community.
Right, well, I was going to say, you know, the heat and the weather probably impact the specialists almost more than any other position group just by virtue of the fact that, you know, between snapping and kicking, a wet football could play a huge role. But like you were saying, while they were getting ready for this week's game, they took a little time out to give back in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month with some help from the Colorado Rapids. Two teams and two sports coming together for a great cause.
You can get to meet all these players in person, all right?
This week, the Denver Broncos and Colorado Rapids celebrated Hispanic Heritage Month by holding a football versus football skills clinic at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
You ready? Let's go!
Each team took 100 Denver area kids through drills for both soccer and football, offering tips and advice for the positions they know best.
The kids are having a great time out here. I saw some talent, you know, in the field goal kicking. And, you know, I have to check my job security tomorrow morning to see, you know, if Elway still wants me. But these kids are doing a great job. They're having a lot of fun. And one of the great things about sports is it creates a friendship and a bond that you could go and talk about it in school the next day, and has a lot of fun with the kids.
Just watching me snap and see, they kept wanting me, hey, go further, go further.
So it's a lot of fun. It's fun interacting with these guys. You play sports with your friends. You get in the backyard, you play football, you play soccer, you play basketball. You just go out and play with your friends, and I think more kids need to do that. Technology's taken that away from a lot of kids, and I think getting out and playing is good for everybody.
You almost got it.
There's definitely a couple. You know, there's some kids that really showed some talent. You know, others have some things to work on, but, you know, a bunch of these kids are soccer players, so, you know, it's good to have them out here and having a good time. This is a great complex over here, and just to get together with some of the Rapids players and a couple of the Broncos here, it's been an awesome night.
1, 2, 3. Go Broncos! Good job, guys.
In Commerce City, I'm Matt Boyer for Broncos TV. Our thanks to the Colorado Rapids for hosting that event. A great thing to see. The Colorado Rapids are, of course, making their playoff push right now. The Broncos, hopefully this lays the foundation for our own playoff push later on this year. So we appreciate their support.
Of course, though, taking it one week at a time, right. Starting with today. And it is certainly hot here, but like May said, some water drops coming down now. But let's get into this week's trivia question again one more time here. It's, what is the hottest regular season game the Broncos have ever played in? Mace, I'm sure you know.
Arizona, yep. 2001. It's the only game in Broncos history, I believe, that has been over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And of all things, it was a night game. It was actually a Sunday night game. Tells you how hot Arizona gets. It's still over 100 degrees when the sun goes down.
You can never stump the Mesa. At Arizona, September 23rd, 2001, a whopping 103 degrees.
My goodness. That having lived in Arizona, very familiar with just how hot it can get. But let's hope it doesn't get that hot. But we could, you know, get some rain. So let's not hope too hard.
Yeah, we're lucky that they have the University of Phoenix Stadium now. Nice indoor conditions, but we're back here in Tampa Bay. And Mace, of course, this is a very special trip for you.
Yeah, it's my home area. I went to University of South Florida just up the street. Actually, they play their games right here at Raymond James Stadium. Went to St. Pete High across the bay, and so I would not come back to Tampa without having a local specialty, a Cuban sandwich. They sell them here. If you're watching this in the parking lot here at Raymond James Stadium, you're going to the game, the Soto Grill on the 100, on the 200 level.
Oh, we got the full. Oh.
Perfect. Pressed Cuban. It's a Tampa specialty. If you get down here, make sure you have lunch. Trip.
Well, of course, it's a hotly debated topic, but Miami or Tampa, which has the better Cuban sandwich?
I'm going with Tampa just because this is my place. Look, Tampa, the Cuban heritage here goes back well over a century. The late 19th century, you started having Cuban immigrants that rolled cigars over in Ybor City. So long history, and obviously Miami's got a great Cuban culture, but I've got to stick up for my home territory, Tampa.
Okay, well, we better wrap this show up here because Mace is getting hungry. He's going to finish that sandwich. Mace, before we go here, what's your final thought?
Well, I need a drink. My final thought is, you know, just stay focused in this game. That's key. Look, the Bucks, they might throw the ball a lot. They're going to get some yards. Don't lose focus. Don't lose intensity. You can get it. This is a tough place to play, but you can get the job done.
Okay. My final thought here is get a pass rush on Jameis Winston. He's very good when he gets out of the pocket, but sometimes he makes some throws into some tight coverage. If the Broncos win the turnover battle, I think they'll win here today. And so here's a little stat for you. They have an NFL best 25 consecutive wins when they win the turnover battle. The Bucs so far this season, -6. That's 30th in the NFL.
Yeah. My final key is also got to get to Jameis Winston. The Bucs have only given up 5 sacks all season long. That's almost as many as Von Miller has at the moment. So something's got to give in that matchup. So stay fresh on the pass rush and get to Jameis Winston. I think that's going to be key for the Broncos. But that'll do it for us here in Raymond James Stadium in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For Andrew Mason, Phil Milani, I'm Matt Boyer. Thanks for watching, everybody. Be sure to tune in on DenverBroncos.com after the game. We'll have live press conferences from Gary Kubiak, Trevor Siemian, as well as our locker room reports. But until then, enjoy the game, everybody.
Just another game, another week. Regardless of the atmosphere, we got to go out there and play, and you know, we're going to give you 4 quarters, so that's what we're going to do.
Comes T.J. Warren, and Warren gets there, and a sack.
We want to win games. We want to make the playoffs. We want to go on a run and hopefully win the Super Bowl, so we're not taking anyone lightly.
Sanders, Denver, touchdown.
We can win either way. Run, pass, fullback dive, we can win. We're just going to find ways, you know. At the end of the day, we're going to find a way to put the ball in the box. And that was our whole goal this week, was put the ball in the box, points, 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 and we did that.
Makes the catch and walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Denver.
There's 16 traps in the NFL. If you don't play good, you get trapped. So it's week 4.
week four. We're focused on playing good again. We know we'll have to play very good to win the game, so we restart every week and get ready to play. We respect everybody.
Oh, give me one. Let's go. Let's go.